Rogers 5 here, and get ready to talk about Bond, James Bond, on We Got the Geek.
But it seems you've become useful again.
Maybe it's time you let me get on with my job.
So,
this is where they keep the old relics, then, eh?
Twist, sir.
Voila! No, you're cleverer than you look.
Better than looking cleverer than you are.
Looks like we're going down together.
Not yet!
All right, everybody. It's time yet again for another look back at a James Bond movie. And actually, I'm here with, once again, John Balmer and Hunter.
Yes, and for some good male bonding.
We're letting him in on this, are we?
Yeah. Well, you don't do them properly when I'm not here, so...
Yeah, you were around for the first two Brosnan movies, and then
yes, I was not there for... I was not there for Christmas. I missed Christmas.
Oh, jeez. Anyhow, so before we get to the
back here for Winter Frosts.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about Die Another Day from 2002. But before we get there, we should maybe pay our respects. Richard Kiel passed away since the last time we did one of these.
Yeah, Jaws.
That was actually kind of awkward, too, because you and I had just done the last episode of this.
Yeah.
Where we actually talked about Richard Kiel and how I wasn't a fan of that villain.
Oh.
And then it was 2 days later he passed away.
Yeah, because he listened.
Yeah.
And you should just feel guilty about...
Now he can't do Happy Gilmore,
too. Well, I felt guilty for, like, 3 days. Like, I really did. I haven't gone back to watch his movies yet.
Maybe. It's just a tear comes to your eye whenever you think of Moonraker.
No, never with Moonraker. Moonraker, I was actually okay with him. It's the Spy Who Loved Me. I just despise.
See, we're the opposite. I liked Spy Who Loved Me and hated Moonraker.
Moonraker was just so bad.
We had a good one, you, me, and Kristen, during Moonraker.
Shiny futuristic spacesuits. Put him in his quasi-futuristic spacesuit.
If you had one, you'd wear it, so shut up.
I would not.
You would, so.
I would.
Every one of us would.
This is not Logan's Run. This is not, like, the future of jumpsuits. Thank you very much. It is 1 year away from the future of Inside Out pants and dot matrix printers in every room of the house.
It's a different movie altogether. You're getting off topic, sir.
Anyways.
When doesn't he?
And they cast the new Bond girl. You guys had a chance to see her picture?
I have not seen any new updates.
Leah Seydoux, I believe her name is. She looks all right. Dark hair.
Be a good Bond girl. Be a good winner then.
Yeah.
I heard that they're going to be starting filming soon.
It's supposed to be out next year, next September or October, I think.
Now, this is Craig's last one, right? Or does he had two more, actually.
Yeah, he's got two more.
My understanding is that he's got two more to go.
Yeah, so
and then I'm really curious to see who they're going to start looking at for the next one.
You got to find like another high profile Brit over the next 6 years, right? So,
Matt Smith.
No, I knew you were going for a doctor.
Matt Smith is James Bond. Yeah, that's going to be like
age range and whatever.
Even David Tennant was.
Yeah, I think David Tennant's a little too old now for the role.
Well, even
to be fair, Pierce Brosnan was 50 when he filmed this one alone.
Yeah,
Die Another Day.
I don't think that it's an age issue. I think it's like a build issue.
It's a build. It's a swat. Like it's a certain.
David Tennant's just goofy.
Well, that's the thing. They're the geek James Bond. They're the like. Nerdy style Jamesy kind of Bond. This is fucking British Bruce Wayne.
You know what I'd be cool with? Because I'm not a fan of the Q as we move further into the Daniel Craig era. David Tennant or Matt Smith as Q, I would be cool with.
Matt Smith, I think, could do a good Q.
I think he could.
But I miss John Cleese. I think John Cleese did a very good job of picking up the reins from Desmond Llewellyn.
And yeah, I agree.
The fact that he didn't come back.
I would have liked a little bit more of him.
I understand why they didn't, because of the sort of tonal shift that they have. Like, when you watch Casino Royale.
Which is next, by the way.
Like, immediately watching this one into Casino Royale, you're like, what wacky universe did I switch into? Because there's such a tonal change between what this movie feels like and what they were going for with the new ones. Like, it's Adam West Batman to Batman Begins style shift.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great comparison. It really is that different.
Yeah. Well, it actually does come off a lot like the, like, sort of Schumacher Batman movies into the Nolan Batman movies, where you get a little camp.
This one in particular, Die Another Day, really did have the Schumacher feel, I think, yeah. when you're talking about it.
And I think that's exactly what it is. It's GoldenEye, World Is Not Enough, Tomorrow Never Dies, and Die Another Day are very much feel like the Tim Burton, like the Batman through Batman and Robin
yeah.
style films, where the first one's really good and you see it as that character in this time setting, and then they just got more and more camp with it and started getting yeah. goofier and goofier.
I can't agree more. I think that's a perfect geek analysis to the Brosnan
yeah.
Bond run. Absolutely. And Die Another Day is right where we left off with Batman and Robin.
Yeah, where it was just like...
And
it was
Halle
just
Berry,
too
it was
silly.
Robin.
And it was just too silly. I think it was just too silly by the end of it. Because, I mean, I know I caught you the other night while you're like, oh, I'm 20 minutes in, and it's not bad. And my rewatch of it, I was 20 minutes in going, all right, this isn't as bad as I remember it.
Yep, I was
and then there's
the
just,
thing.
Like, right away, like, there's this switch. And it's like, nope, crap, right, I forgot about that, never mind. So.
Yeah, there was a lot of things in this particular movie that I really did enjoy, but the silliness was just way too much. I really liked a lot of the cool elements. Like, I liked the fact that, Zhao had diamonds in his face. But
yeah.
let's face it, nobody's going to leave diamonds in his face, especially if he was in prison.
And if he's going through, like, gene therapy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure any DNA reconstruction is going to have some problems with diamonds
yeah.
being stuck in your face. But yeah, you're right.
That was
in
definitely
prison,
one that...
Somebody would have come along with a makeshift shiv and dug all of those out of his face.
Yeah, like, it was a great visual element, but horrible for any kind of suspending disbelief. You just can't in
right.
that situation.
And this is where I think it got into the being too camp of Bond movies, where they're like, oh, the villain has to have something... Like, we have to have a bad guy with a distinguishing characteristic. Like, Oddjob had the bowler hat, Jaws.
Yeah, this was them trying to have their own Jaws.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
And
because really, in the Brosnan run, there were no oddball villain characters until we...
The only one that comes to mind is Robert Carlyle, where he had the no pain thing, right?
But that's
but
a little bit more believable.
Enough. Like, that is more believable, that's
right?
what I
this,
mean.
This
like,
is a physical... Like a visual physical trait that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what they were trying to go for. Like, I think their run with Robert Carlyle was a good way of trying to have a villain with that superhuman characteristic that fit in today's world. This was the complete opposite side of that coin where they just messed it up.
Oh, we're doing it again, aren't we? We're just kind of running with everything.
Oh, that's okay.
So, I mean... Jay, what did you think of the start of this movie? Let's go to the beginning.
Because it was a beginning? Oh, yeah that first 20 minutes.
Like I messaged to you, I liked the beginning. I thought it was one of the coolest opening sequences in a James Bond movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hovercraft. Like, that was something new for them, right? Like,
and him getting caught, actually.
And him getting caught, yeah. Like, it was like, yep, you can actually screw up at this job sometimes, and... I didn't like the surfboard entrance.
No, that was dumb.
That was dumb. It's like, yeah, I'm surfing in with all my gear in this surfboard that would not make the board sink at all, or like...
Yeah, I would have liked it more if I didn't have Beach Boys in my head with that going through.
Like, wish they all
That's
could
exactly
be
it.
Young and girls.
Yeah, it was just, you see them coming in like spies on surfboards.
Which,
yeah, it's not working for me.
It's like very Point Break. Like,
it wasn't even Point Break. It
like
was,
I mean,
was,
if they were
it
like
was
60s little,
Batman is what it
yeah,
was.
Like if they were like little Ski-Doos or whatever. Like
Ski-Doos would have been more believable for me.
Yeah, and I've been surfing off the coast of Korea. Those are not the kind of waves you're getting off that coast.
Like, you were in the wrong Korea then.
I was on bad Korea. I was on the Korea with freedom. They couldn't afford the wave generator.
The Caribbean with Freedom isn't all about surfing like they show
yeah,
here.
Yeah. In North Korea, it's all about the war and the surfing.
Yeah.
You do one of those two things well. But... No, like, the War Zone one, like...
That was cool. I really liked the whole idea of that demilitarized
zone. But it started what was my major problem with the film, which was death by a thousand puns. And I'm the man who enjoys a good pun, but there are so many of them in that movie.
There's a couple.
And they're all set up so poor. Like, I mean... Like, just that opening sequence alone was just like, don't blow it all... Saved by the Bell, like, you get into the ones later on with, like, I can read you every move and read this and stabbed you with Sun Tzu's Art of War. Like, the only one I appreciated was Diamond Face just getting fed up with it, punching Bond and going, how's that for a punchline? I'm like, thank you. But, yeah.
Diamond Face.
I can't think of anything else to call him. Like,
how about Zabble? That's his name.
No, it doesn't have the same punch to it. Okay, no,
I like that was
unintentional, but still better than all of the puns in that movie. Like, oh,
man. I liked when he was shooting the landmines. That was cool.
That was cool. Mm. Yeah, like the whole landmine.
Oh, like as an action sequence, it was very great. Original to them. They've never done that kind of like. Landmine hovercraft chase.
And to be honest with you, the whole concept of the Icarus satellite and how it uses that beam to take the beam to take out the landmines and stuff, that was all cool stuff that I really, really liked. But the villain controlling it was just goofy.
Get to him.
Yeah,
we're going through an order, and I have to talk about that opening Madonna.
Oh, I was gonna say
first.
We've had a lot of good Bond songs.
We've had a lot of great.
Yeah, Live and Let Die, View to a Kill. This was not one of them.
This one was horrible.
Well, it's also like that the very like not matching the tone of what you're seeing. Like you're seeing James Bond be tortured with scorpions and like ice water. And hot pokers, and
let's
you've got like
pop
club music. Like Kristen walked in and she's like, "What are you watching?" And it's like, "Oh, the James Bond movie." That does not fit a James Bond movie.
It really didn't.
And you're like, no, sure didn't.
No,
but it justified that Madonna cameo later.
Oh, jeez.
And that was horrible.
Which we'll get to, but yeah, no, it's just interesting to like be watching a man be like. Scared of scorpions and then like yeah
we're gonna waterboard you but make you feel happy about it.
Yeah, and then they had the Disco Light Show later on too, but
yeah.
Yeah, so and then we get James Bond is ignored by MI6 and left out on his own for being reckless number seven
for I guess like a year or something. I read,
well, he was left there for like 14 months. But then comes back and they're like, no, we don't want anything to do with you. You're on your own. 00 status revoked. And I'm like, okay, so that makes like half of the movies where he hasn't had his 00 status.
And that's where he looked like John Cougar Mellonbond, too.
Yes. I love like the look that they try and put on that nurse's face. Like, man, even as a disheveled hobo, you're still so, so erotic, James Bond. Like, and you are...
When it gets to be a little bit further in the winter, and I start looking like that,
open nurses,
I'm pretty studly at. You know, you can keep that going.
Open hospital scrubs, just walk into a hotel. Like
I love that.
I love that. I like that scene too. But there's the idea that like the guy's just like, oh yes, of course, Mr. Bond. I recognize like that. He walks into that like that's the hotel he walks into in that outfit every time. Like. So that they recognize him when he hasn't, like, shaved or cut his hair in a year.
Yeah, or probably showered.
Yeah.
I can buy into that.
Well, we got baths. Like, just slammed his head into the water every day to help wake him up. Like.
That was the alarm clock.
Yeah. It's 8 a.m. Sploosh.
That's pre-up, right?
It's time for your 10 a.m. sport.
They didn't do that to you?
No. Oh, I was in the bad Korea.
Korea.
So no Madonna soundtrack where you were?
No. That I was fortunately spared that, as that was classified as cruel and unusual punishment by the Geneva Convention.
A little bit too late, though.
Yeah.
It was still made. That's the problem.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, opening 20 minutes of that movie, like, feels very, like, classic James Bond, where he's sort of been cut off, and he's like, okay, I'm going to use my resources. The people I know, I'm going to talk to them. They're going to do me favors. I'm going to do a little bit of detective work style thing and figure out where I got to go next. And then we get to Cuba.
Well, hold that thought.
Okay.
Let's take our first break. We come back, we'll hear more from you guys. And we'll hear what I thought about this movie, because you guys might be surprised.
Oh, no, he likes it.
Oh, wow.
All right.
He likes it.
So we'll be right back.
Face front, true believers. John Bulmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Bulmer.
And we're back. And you said something about going down together?
Yeah.
Worst line in a movie ever.
God, yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it was just all terrible jokes. And I felt like Halle Berry was only there to say a bad joke and then get into trouble. Like,
yeah, she was not believable as, like, a counterpart.
Well, she was supposed to be NSA, right? Like,
come on.
No. She really ever believable as anything, though?
Catwoman.
No, she was
that
not
was a
believable
joke.
As Catwoman. Well, she comes out of the water all Ursula.
Ursula Andress?
Ursula Andress from Dr. No, and I'm like, I knew Ursula Andress, and you are no Ursula Andress. Like, first of all, orange, really?
And by the way, he's not even... He's pretending to be a bird watcher at that point and still gets to bed her.
Hey, well, if you were a suave ornithologist, you could pull that off,
I guess.
But, sir, you are not.
But it was like, honestly, like, it was the idea that he's like, man, I'm here on a super important mission of revenge. Oh, random girl. Yeah, nothing to do till 9? Sure, you want to have sex? Like... He literally, that was essentially what it boiled down to of that conversation. Hey, I'm not doing anything till tomorrow morning. Could I be doing you? And she's like, oh, you? Yes. Unless that mojito was really strong. Like,
it had a roofie in it.
Well, he was like, hey, is this drink too strong for you? And she's like, I can get used to this. I'm like, it's just all vodka. Like, it's just all, like, it's just alcohol and mint leaves. Like,
yeah. But yeah, that was a little bit silly.
I do appreciate the Birdwatcher reference, though.
I actually really did dig that, the whole...
Because that's where the name James Bond he got off of was Ian Fleming was writing the story, had a Birdwatching by James Bond book next to him, and that's where he got the name James Bond.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's a little, like, in-joke to the James Bond mythology, but...
All right.
I don't know. I'm just a bird watcher, so I dug that little bit of a reference in there.
You just, like, want to dream about bird watching in Havana and picking up beautiful women?
Yeah.
I mean, so was Pierce Brosnan, and he had to settle for Halle Berry, but...
Yeah. Well, I think I can do better than that.
But, yeah, then
next,
you get
next
to...
Next time we all go to Havana, okay, we'll all order mojitos... And we'll offer it to the first hot
chick. Do we all have to pretend to be ornithologists? Or can you, like, be an ornithologist? I'll pretend to be a geologist. And, like, Jay can pretend to be some other science. What do we got? Like
a urologist.
He's a urologist or, like... Or, since it seems to be the thing for TV series, what if he's, like, a medical examiner? Because they seem to get all the beautiful women, too.
Yeah, but if he was a dick doc, then he'd make a lot of money.
Or at least a lot of puns.
And we need the puns, right?
Yeah,
okay, so next time we do that, we're going to pull off this whole mojito line on some chick, and we'll just see who...
We're just going to all have mojitos and just...
And we'll just see who makes it work.
I'm a geologist. Would you like to see...
I'm a geologist, but I don't have to look at any rocks until tomorrow.
Yeah, like, the rocks don't come out at night. Like, but, yeah... And then you get to the super futuristic DNA resequencing.
That I thought was cool, but I thought it was a little bit too much. That was where it was getting into that Chewbacca Batman kind of thing, a little bit too much.
That's what I mean, where they just went too far into camp, right? Where you're like, I can buy somebody altering their appearance. I mean, we bought it enough with Blofeld over the movies, right? Where he had, like, surgery and things like that. But to have it be DNA resequencing, like...
It was a little bit too much. And also, like, they were focusing on the looks, but not paying attention to the fact that they were also adjusting people's height. The actors were not... The actor who played that one little Korean guy...
And
the actor who played Gustav Graves, you know, which is what the guy turned into...
Yeah.
There's, like, 6 inches of difference in height there.
It's all in the shoes.
Yeah.
It's a lift.
He's like, wearing Gene Simmons boots.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't get Gene Simmons boots in the bad
thing. But that's the thing. If you just made that, like, a very expensive, exclusive plastic surgery, like, it wouldn't have taken away anything from your movie, and you could have kept it as somewhat believable.
Yeah, they just pushed it too far to the...
They're brainstorming this in the writer's room, and they're like, okay, well, we have this Korean bad guy, but we want him to be played by this white actor, so what do we do? Okay, well, we could have him, like, just change his appearance with makeup. Well, no. What if he had plastic surgery? No. What if he went into a special radiation place that took out all of his bone marrow and replaced it with the white guy's? And they're like,
what if they mistakenly, like, replaced it with the marrow of a goat or something like that? Then they would have been screwed.
Then you'd end up with, like, SNL, like, Goat Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Goat Stop Graves.
Now he's making the bad puns.
Yeah. It's still me. But, yeah, like, and then you're, like, halfway through, you're just an albino Korean guy, like...
Yeah. They pushed it too far too quick to try and make it fantastic. And I don't know if they were just trying to make a big blockbuster movie for Brosnan's last movie, even though he at the time didn't know that this was going to be his last one.
Well, I think it was because it was such a flop that's why he was like, I'm not going to bother renewing.
You know, it was the biggest James Bond movie money-wise until the Craig movies.
Oh, I'm sure it was. It was just...
But that's just because there was more population at that point. When you think about how the population grew over the whole span
To be perfectly fair, when you've got everybody going, wow, his last three ones were really good, you should go see this one. I'm going to. And then you get them actually into the theater and...
Yeah.
Like, plus you've also got, 20 movies or 19 movies before that where people might have been introduced to them and they're catching up and all of a sudden, boom, there's that new one, so they're right on time.
Well, or you look at something like the way that Doctor Who's popularity was, where it's like people catching up just in time for the new season to come out, where everybody's like, oh my god, I'm getting really excited for this big 20th anniversary Doctor Who, like... I had just gotten into this while the show was on hiatus this summer. I've caught up. I've watched everything. And now I want to see the new one. And I think that's
what I'm working on, but I'm way behind. I'm 3 episodes from Matt Smith.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, that's where it started losing me in terms of, like...
Me too, actually.
Yeah, so, as soon as we got to that island, actually, as soon as Halle Berry walked out of the water... That's when my interest started to wane on that.
I don't know. I liked him punching the, like, jerk guy from the bar. That was hilarious. Just to take him on the, like, I don't need no wheelchair. Oh, really?
But that's just it. Like I said, there's little things throughout the movie that are like, oh, yeah, I like how he did that. You know, how he pushed him in the cart.
He just goes around and
looked in the window of another room.
Which is why I felt like it was, like, sort of classic James Bond. Like, he didn't need a gadget or something to get into a building.
It was just...
You're just like, okay, there's an open window. Distraction.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And how he did that was great. And then you get that stupidity of, you know, her wanting to, Halle Berry's character wanting to get, you know, the plastic surgery, and then she shoots the doctor. Like,
yeah, and she says a one-liner when she does it, too. Yeah. There was something that she, I can't
And I really would have liked to hear more from the doctor about what was actually going on.
He was just there to give just enough exposition to justify their flimsy premise.
Yeah. And it was just too weak. And then she shoots him, and we're like, okay.
So you said you started losing yourself there, so
yeah.
Take us through the next part of the movie here, and...
make us
how you
for a minute.
How you held on.
What was the next part of the movie?
So he just gets back in, to MI6.
Right, and then he has a discussion with John Cleese, who's taken over for Desmond Llewellyn, the original Q. And John Cleese was great. I, like you said, I wish he would have stuck around.
Yeah, and I think that was where they were... It ended up going with them being... It was that further takedown campiness, right? Mm-hmm. Desmond Llewellyn was very serious in his role. Mm-hmm. He just had that dry wit to match Bond's. He was the guy that could match Bond one-liner for one-liner. But he was very serious in the part. Where John Cleese was there to be...
A goof.
Monty Python.
It was good. He was good in the role, but he introduced us to what I think is the lamest James Bond gadget ever, the invisible car.
The Vanish.
The Vanish, yeah. Yeah, again, like, that one step too far in what you're doing, like, in that technology. Like, and to be fair, like, they didn't really do a lot with the invisible car. Like, I laugh there at the scenes where eventually, like, he gets into Iceland and the invisible car is driving around and you see the tire treads and you're like, ooh, this stealth car is so good.
Yeah, and I think it was the wrong place to take the invisible car.
Like, and like they, I think it was them having to do that step up from the like smartphone controlled car from the world is not enough.
And you know what? That was an awesome car. Oh, that would
it was
the smartphone one was in
Tomorrow Never Dies. Right.
And then they continued that trend a little bit into The World Is Not Enough. He still could control that.
Yeah, I think I always get the titles of those two.
Yeah, he was able to control a little bit more with the cell phone. I think if they would have kept going with that and just...
Well, it seemed like in this one he was controlling it with a laser pointer. Like at one point he's like, just got like a little dot and it's like, the car is just following the dot. Like,
I liked the car when it wasn't invisible.
Oh my god! Yeah.
The Aston Martin.
I like Diamond Face's car. I'm like,
that one just looked like a Miata with a.
I'm like, wow, that is like you just took the James Bond car and you just went, no, I don't care about any of the looking fancy. It's just going to have lots of explosives. Yeah. And it did its job.
It's on wheels, basically. And it's colorful.
But I liked the reference to the jetpack.
Yeah.
From one of the Sean Connery films where, like, he walks up and he's like, does this even still work? And it starts trying to fly
the boot
away.
With the knife in it.
Yes.
Yeah. The, when they were in there, you know, when he's calling Q Quartermaster, because he doesn't want to admit to John Cleese that he's actually Q. He's calling him Quartermaster.
Yeah.
And we're looking at all this cool memorabilia because it's the 20th anniversary.
You know. Yeah.
And so, there's like, what was his line? When are you going to show me the good stuff?
Yeah. Well, there was also the line at John Cleese's expense where it's just like, yeah, you'll find that it's just a flesh wound. Like. So, I mean, there was some good in-jokes.
Yeah.
But they're so, like...
They're hidden under layers and layers.
Layers of crap. Because there's so many bad jokes that you're like, oh, God. Like, I'm just trying not to pay attention to
it. And then his comment about, here's your watch. I believe it's your 20th.
Yeah, the 20th anniversary. Like, I thought that was cute. Like, trying
to... Yeah, I don't know. With this one, after we got out of Roger Moore, which got to be just too silly and campy for its time, then we got into Timothy Dalton, where it got gritty and rough. And then it went to Pierce Brosnan, where it started out gritty and rough. And basically by the time we got back to Die Another Day and working at this point in the movie where we're just halfway through.
Yeah, it was like in four.
We're back to Roger Moore.
Four movies, they went from gritty and rough to camp in the same amount of time it took, like, the Sean Connery to the end of the Roger Moore one. Like, what had taken like 12, 13 movies before had now taken only four. So it's a lot easier to point out, like...
And really, to be honest with you, you could actually say instead of it taking the four, it just took this movie. Because it starts out good, and then it just went downhill.
You know, even Roger Moore hated the invisible car.
Yeah, well, you would. Like, yeah. I mean, if you had done anything interesting with, like... You need to do something interesting with the gadgets. Like, I mean, this was the thing where, like, in the older James Bond, you hand him the gadgets and... They're very basic things, and you're like, okay, wow, I wonder, like, it gives you time to forget about them. Whereas these ones, it's very much, okay, here's your specific device for this one and only scenario. your specific device for this one and only scenario. Like, it's very much a use this only in this case. Like, it doesn't give you time to forget about it for him to go, oh, wow, that was a really ingenious use of that device. Like, the belt in Goldeneye with the repelling line in it where you're like, it has the line that it'll shoot out and you can swing. And you're like, he's running through that library and you're like, shit, how the hell is he going to get out of this? And he pulls out the belt and you're like, oh, fucking hell, yeah, oh my God, I forgot he had that.
And the world is not enough. It's the same thing in his watch.
Yeah.
He's always got that kind of standard issue tool that has a practical use.
But in this one, it's like, okay, here's your ring that breaks glass. And as soon as you saw, like, an entire area where it was nothing but glass, you're like, okay, yes, I know what's going to happen. Like, there's just no invention to it. It's not that they wrote a scene and went, okay, like, what's a really cool way of getting out of this? They're like, okay, we're going to write a scene where he uses this invention to get out of it. Okay, go back and give him that invention.
Which is exactly what they should have done. Plan it out that way. Come up with something and then give him the tools later.
Well, yeah, and but that's the other thing, too, is if you're going to write it like that, where you're going to write a very specific situation for one tool, and then go back and write the scene where you're giving him all the gear, make it a little more invisible. Like, I mean, you're writing it just for that scene. Make it blend a little bit as opposed to just being...
Or make it a tool with obvious. Multiple uses that just happens to be practical in that case.
No, that said, he does use the ring to sort of pop the windshield on the car to save her that way, which I did like. But, like, as soon as you walk into the bad guy's office and the floor is all glass, you're like, okay. Ooh, I wonder what's going to happen here. Like, Bond. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Bond, we're going to give you the standard issue flamethrower. You're going to an ice palace. Oh, okay. I wonder what he's going to do with that. Like,
roast hot dogs.
Yeah.
All right, kids, let's take another break.
Can we come back, Madonna?
Sure, if we have to.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
All right, welcome back to our look at Die Another Day. I'm here with Hunter and John and sometimes Kristen. And
she's still here.
She is still here, and we haven't even talked about them doing it in the diamonds yet. But
that's the crowning moment of failure that's going to culminate this entire movie. But
so the Madonna cameo,
which to be fair, I will say is my last like. Well, actual scene I like in that movie, because I have always enjoyed a good sword fight.
I like the introduction of Gustav Graves, like him coming in on the parachute, them setting up the whole fencing thing, but then, yeah, you start to question the rest of that.
Because I will say this, I really liked Miranda Frost. Like, she was very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Rosamund. And that's why I'm sitting there in this situation going, really? You had the choice between Miranda Frost and Halle Berry. You went with Halle Berry.
Yep.
All right, I guess.
Well, she was
suspension
a jinx.
Of disbelief.
Told you she was a jinx.
Yeah. Which only makes me think
did
of, like, the blackface Pokemon. But yeah, no, that fencing scene. Like, I mean, as soon as Madonna turns around, you've got, like, a collective groan from the audience, and they're like, oh, it's Madonna. And then they make you forget about it, like, really quickly. Because... She doesn't matter, and they threw a really cool sword fight at you, which, looking back at, when you know who Gustav Graves is, lets you really see the sort of subtext between the lines of him actively hating Bond for trying to kill him and crafting the Gustav Graves persona off of James Bond. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you're like, oh my God, you see that. And then just to watch the two of them go at it with the swords.
That sequence was another one of those things where it was like, yes, we're getting something that's a little bit more classic Bond that we just don't see. because he's so good at so many different things, and then all of a sudden here he is in a sword fight, and we're like, we haven't seen this yet, but it fits that he would be able to do it. He's British, he grew up,
like, in the academy style,
they would have done this
private school, but it's also the idea that it's like, yes, it lets him trade those great one-liner, like, those great barbs that he's so good at with the villains, where they can just sort of, like, really get under each other's skin, and it just sort of starts stacking up, where they're, like, they keep digging at each other until eventually they're just, like, it's not even, like, little tiny foils. They've got honking swords that they are just taking at each other.
Okay, as much as I liked the sword fight, because it was cool, I was not a fan of the lame laser fight.
Yeah. There's the other end of that spectrum where it's all the wit and the build-up and the, like... And that's exactly what that sword fight is it's little digs here and there. Little foil swords to eventually, like, bigger insults and bigger weapons. And then eventually, like, that's what's perfect scene. And then you get to the lasers and it's...
That's when it gets into the campiness that was Moonraker, where they had lasers. It was just that little bit too much that really didn't fit.
Well, and I mean, the lasers themselves doesn't start off too bad. Where the lasers are there and you've got Bond going like, okay, I can only get in like a quick jab between where the lasers are flying. And you're like, okay, he's thinking about where these are. And then they just tackle each other and you're like, no, how did you both not just get sliced up completely?
What didn't make sense to me was, okay, you're in this ice palace... In this glass dome, which is Gustav Grade's home in Iceland, and he just happens to have a whole series of lasers in his home?
Well, because that was their diamond mine front, right? Because they said, like, the mine might be fake, but the equipment we have here is quite real.
It didn't make sense to me that he would have all of these lasers in one spot when really all they're doing with the lasers is putting the GG on the conflict diamonds to make it his brand.
Yeah.
Why do they need 50?
Well,
they need
the other
one.
Thing is, like... It was the other idea of, like, Halle Berry with one hand and never seen this control before in her life can immediately move these lasers into the exact position she needs, and...
Yeah.
She's a mutant.
She's still a
mutant. I would have bought it better if all of a sudden her eyes had glossed white over and a lightning bolt had come in through the hole in the ceiling that she had climbed in and struck Mr. Kill.
Oh, yeah, he had no purpose.
Yeah.
And his introduction. You pull up to somebody and their response to you is, I'm Mr. Kill. Really? I didn't ask who,
like,
you were.
Yeah, it's like, I'm Mr. Convenient Name for a Pun Later. Like...
Yeah, and that was the only line in that sequence. It was, I'm Mr. Kill. And then Bond turns around and is watching... Graves go by and that
like a homeless guy downtown. They go like, I was in the war, and you're like, great, I didn't ask. Like,
The pelicans are coming.
Yeah,
just some weird line that really served no purpose. We didn't need to know his name. We didn't even need to see his face at that point. He didn't
matter.
And
it was one of those situations where you're like, if you were willing to just shoot the people in the face, like, just shoot him in the face. Like, I get it that the guy's like, oh, I want to use the laser. And okay, just fucking move the laser in front of her face and put on, like...
Yeah.
And the worst part is, like, I know you have, like, these damsel in distress moments, but she literally walked out of having just been saved, walked into his room, and immediately needed to be saved again.
Yeah.
Like, this was never a, hey, somebody competent, like, got themselves in a bad situation and needed a little help.
That's where
it was literally, she needed to be rescued. And then he rescues her, says, go to my room. She walks in that room, like, the very next scene she is in, she walks through a set of doors and immediately needs to be rescued again. And then the bad guys show up, open the doors and go, you need to be rescued, and then close the doors again. Those were her next scenes, like... Those were the scene, like, rescued from a laser, says a bunch of bad laser puns, leaves. Next scene she's in is her walking into James's room. Doors close. Oh my god, what happened? Next scene is the bad guy showing up saying, ah, James Bond is dead. Doors close.
Trap you. Yeah.
And then the next scene she is in is she is drowning.
Yeah, so she goes from that
arboretum, basically.
Yeah, like she's trying to stealth in. Palace,
but, like, she's going next door. She's trapped again. She starts to drown. He comes in and saves her, takes her back over next door, and saves her again in the hot tub.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? You went from lasers to ice to ice
yeah,
water?
Yeah, like, do I need
water.
To hang a bell on
but
your neck?
Like, she was only in these two buildings,
and she's
she
supposed
was,
to be.
Look at all the trouble she's in.
Like, she is supposed to be a trained
yeah,
security agent, like, national security agent. I could have bought it from even something like Natalia or Natasha or whatever her name was from GoldenEye, the systems analyst. Where you're like, you're not trained for this kind of thing. You're
Natalia.
Someone that sits in front of a computer. Or even Christmas Jones. Like,
you're a physicist.
You're a physicist. Like, this is the kind of person that I don't expect to be able to handle themselves in that situation. But
Halle Berry's character is set up.
You tried to show her as competent escaping the Havana facility by turning into bad CGI and going backwards off the cliff.
Yeah.
You tried to show her as being able to get out of a situation, and then the entire rest of the movie up until the chick fight.
Well, yeah, after she dives in the water, the next time you see her, she's driving a Ford. So, yeah, it went downhill from there.
Actually, you just reminded me of something earlier in the movie, which I thought was cool. We were talking about escapes. The part where Bond escapes the fake heart attack.
Yeah, that was actually cool because that was a very like spy thing that you're like, okay, like that's somebody who's gone through shit and is used not only having been tortured for a year and how he got out of that, but also like his secret agent training. And you're like, I can buy that. I can buy that somebody can stop their heart for a split second and make people panic around them and use that. But, and that's what I think we've been talking about, of like, you started off with such good sort of credibility on a really good sort of modern day Bond story.
Yeah, it was,
and you
it was
threw
on the right
all this
track.
Extra crap on top of it just to try and make it more futuristic.
They tried to make a Bond movie into a blockbuster, and they never should have.
I think they took the idea of what GoldenEye was and tried to dial it up to 11. Where GoldenEye was, yeah, we're using futuristic technology.
I like your Spinal Tap reference there, sir.
Yeah. Where they've got, like, the futuristic technology in the GoldenEye satellite as a means of, as a weapon. Which he's going to use to basically just do a bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same kind of thing that Goldfinger had, where he was really just trying to set off a bomb to irradiate gold. Like, it was a very mundane crime, but in a super villainy kind of way. Whereas this was just like, oh, we're going to use technology, but we're going to go so grandiose with it. Like, it's not just going to be a satellite that that does an EMP. That's too real. We're going to have the Death Star super laser in orbit firing down to blow up these mines. Which, in and of itself, is not a bad idea.
Cool.
If he had if the entire idea had been an orbital weapon designed to blow up all the mines in the demilitarized zone so their troops could march across, I don't think I would have had a problem with it. It was it's a sun laser that I'm going to use to melt the ice to attack my enemy kind of setup to it.
Yeah.
That just made it so...
They used it for the campy purpose before we got to see what its real purpose was for. If
yeah.
they would have done it the other way, it might have been more believable.
And that's the thing. Like, if you had shown it to me, like, if he had been collect, like, because I get that he's collecting the diamonds for this thing. Like, that's what he's using it for. At least that's what I got out of it. Like, the diamonds were needed to set up this weapon of some kind.
Yeah, you get that impression somehow.
It was kind of murky in that. It's like, okay, is he using the diamonds to fund the satellite?
I think the
is
biggest
the satellite
part
made
it was,
out of the diamonds?
I think the biggest part of it was the funding to be able
right.
to have his whole new life and set this character up that everybody believed was something he's not.
Which is fine. But I think the idea was if they had just kept it as, like, a simple satellite weapon. You're like, this is a new satellite weapon. Like, even because it's the 20th anniversary. Give me, like, look, we stole designs for this GoldenEye satellite. And we've modified it. So that instead of firing an EMP, we've got redirecting sunlight.
That actually would have been really cool to see those Gold Knight satellites be
because the other thing, the only other thing I could think of was the friggin' mirrors from Batman and Robin, where like Freeze freezes the city and they use the mirrors to shine the sun on the city to thaw everything. Like,
yeah, because that would work.
Because it, and that's the thing, it wouldn't, like,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, you took it too far. If it had just been orbital weapon platform, we're going to use this to blow up all the mines in the DMZ. I can buy that, and that makes perfect sense. But it's all that filler where they're, it's like they expect, it's like baking a cake, and you're like, people expect icing on the cake. But this is a 20th cake we've ever made. So we're going to make most of the cake out of icing.
Yeah, there's...
Because people love icing.
There's some cake in the middle, but man, you got to dig to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's all the...
And you're not allowed to use a utensil to dig for it.
You have the foundation of a good story. Of a guy who, like, a military guy who tries to use his fake, like, his death to create a new persona based on the person who killed him. And use that identity and that life to build a weapon to try and help his homeland.
Yeah, so much good stuff there.
And, I mean, you even get the sort of very loose, like, my father never loved me story that's in, like, everything. But you threw in such
something to attach to.
Crazy stuff in there with invisible cars and ice palaces.
And the parasailing.
I was about to say, that was stupid.
But, well, and that's the thing, too. The rocket car, like, they just, as a... An afterthought are just like, oh yeah, boss, he broke your time. Like, did you need that?
Why were you tracking it?
It was just, it was a like, ha, I'm going to poke you and show you that you're only his imitation and he's better than you still in every way. But you got that out of the sword fight. Like, you got that when he beat you in that sword fight. That was you pretending to be him, but him actually being him. And he can beat you at that.
Yeah, the rocket car... Well, in my opinion, let's face it, the satellite has to move, what, a millimeter to cover the distance that would have taken out that car? Come on. Like,
yeah.
That was... There's
well, no that's the thing, too. If he just kept that line going forward, he kills Bond. But no, he's like, haha, I'm going to cut off this ice cliff and give him time to escape and build a terrible CGI parasailer.
Yeah, that was not believable whatsoever.
But that was the time, too, right? Is CGI needed to be in everything, but they weren't doing it well yet.
Not yet.
So.
Cool. Let's take another break. And when we come back, I guess we'll give the movie our rating, which could be funny.
Could be.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull-list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils. Everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back.
Before we get to the ratings, though, we have not talked about the other elephant in the room here, which is Quasi-Iron Man.
Quasi-Iron Man.
Quasi-Iron Man robotic suit.
Yes.
At the end of this movie.
Oh, yes.
Ah, yeah. The,
The electricity hand. And the,
see, what I thought of was, remember the original Nintendo, the Power Glove?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's what made me think of it.
So rad.
It made me think of being a kid, playing laser tag, and having the Power Glove to make yourself look like you were tougher.
Which, again, not necessarily a bad thing. If it had just been a glove that was electricity. It's this full armor that he put down, and the goggles or whatever that he put down. That was where he lost me completely, where he's like, watch, Father, as I redeem our country.
Which makes no goggles sense. Down. He should have been able to control it all with his freaking cell phone.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all he should have needed.
Well, and he had the suitcase. He had the suitcase that he controlled it with.
And he did make that reference of, hey, it's still a suitcase. Make it smaller. Like, you can kind of pin that on the idiot.
Like budget Boris.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa, super budget Boris.
But, and that's the thing, right? Like, he just looked ridiculous. Like, the climax of your movie, your bad guy just looks ridiculous.
Your bad guy looks stupid. Your villainess looks hotter.
Your villainess looked amazing.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that she's like, I'm going to go for a final confrontation with the other girl. Better strip down to my sports bra.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, the thing that's wrong with that is it should have just gone, I have a knife to your throat, turn on the autopilot, cool, stab.
You're right.
You're done. Like, that's it, and then you can go up, and because you're the girl who went bad, Bond will forgive you. He'll let you help him save him so that he can bed you later on those diamonds. So Halle Berry should never have been having sex with James Bond on those diamonds. Should have been Miranda Frost actually killing Halle Berry, going upstairs, redeeming herself, because she's still hot and British.
Yeah.
And then they can have the awkward, pointy sex.
See, when you said elephant in the room, I thought you were going to talk about Moneypenny and her sex hologram.
Okay, the Moneypenny and the sex hologram thing was kind of awkward.
It is unfortunate. That's the last time we see Samantha Bond as Moneypenny.
But to be fair, I think the way that their relationship, like the Moneypenny Bond relationship over the four movies had been built up, I could definitely see him retiring at the end of that. And the two of them leaving together.
Yeah, I think it was great to see her just kind of let all that out.
And I think that was sort of the way that I think of it, because she doesn't come back in Casino Royale. And sorry to spoil that for you, but Samantha Bond is gone after this, along with a lot of the cast.
Yeah, and you're not actually going to see a Moneypenny for a while.
Not true.
I'm telling Jay he's not going to see a Moneypenny. People like you and I will see it.
No, not true. Because what's her name in Casino Royale is referred to as Moneypenny.
She's not referred to as Moneypenny. That's their British.
You're the
call.
Money. You're the money.
Every penny of it. That's not your.
She's Moneypenny.
She's not Moneypenny. She's Vesper.
Fuck off. Anyways, but yes, the sex holodeck adventuring.
That was fun.
It was neat. I could see that being like that. If you want to spend your super technology point, like, I figure, like, the kind of thing with James Bond is you've got a number of points that you can spend on goofy technology in your James Bond movie, and people will go, okay, it's a James Bond movie, I can buy this. So laser watches and like that kind of thing. People are like, okay, I can suspend my disbelief. I'll buy into that. Your holographic training simulator thing, I could buy that. That's something that you pay me a little bit of points for that, I can buy. And then you get into the crazy robot suit that controls the space laser. You spend too much. Too much. But, yeah. And then did you want to talk about the sex scene with the diamonds?
No, that's okay.
It happened.
Yeah.
I can only imagine it's like sand, where it's like, oh, it gets in every... Like when you're having sex on the beach, and it's like, oh, it just got in everything.
She put them in her belly button.
I know, but...
Why?
Like, are you having like a shower afterwards, and like just like butt crack, and like a couple diamonds fall out?
Well, they don't fall out. They stayed in Zhao's face.
Yeah.
She's
diamond ass?
Diamond ass.
Diamond ass. Oh, good God.
So what are your final thoughts on the last... Because I want to know your sort of final thoughts on this as the last Brosnan movie.
Yeah.
And the Brosnan movies in general.
I like most of the Brosnan movies in general. Especially the first two. He was good. Like, maybe they could have given him a better...
He was a really good Bond. I just think that he fell victim to some poor writing as it progressed.
He was still fairly young.
He's done a lot of other movies that are action-oriented or Bond-esque, especially one that just came out that I saw in the theater, The November Man. Oh, my God. Like, he's still got it. If he's got good writing...
Well, because he was doing, at the time, he was doing, like, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Which was great.
It was sort of very Taylor Bond-esque. Even him in Dante's Peak as sort of like a professional, like, it was an action story. It was a fluff action popcorn movie, but he was good in it. Like,
they should have let him go out on a good James Bond movie, though.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't, at that point, I don't think they knew what a good James Bond movie was. I think they pushed it too far and they didn't realize that they did.
It's true. But if this was the admission that we had to pay to get Casino Royale next,
worth it.
It's worth it. So,
was it time to phase gravity?
I don't.
No.
Cricket. Sorry, I'm just quoting the lame.
Oh, I know you're quoting the lame jokes in the movie.
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell made sense in that situation.
Because he was hanging from a bell. Because
he was hanging from a bell. It was kind of cute. It was whatever. It was the, like, oh, time to face gravity, or the, like, dumb laser puns, or the dumb sex puns. Like, oh, I get the thrust of it. Like, the person in me that enjoys a good pun died a little inside.
Oh, man. No, I enjoyed the first half an hour or so of it. It was interesting, him getting captured and seeing what he had to go through. I liked some of the chase at the end when the cars were plowing through that ice house. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, a good car chase. Like, in terms of, like, a James Bond-style car chase, one across a frozen ice plane.
That was cool. In the hotel, I hated it, because it was like,
well, cause it was just,
we know the exact layout of this building to be able to drive through it? Come on.
By the way, thank Christ we didn't get another ski scene. That's all I'm going to say.
I think that's what the surfing thing. True. Like, it's always the, what's the topical, like, I'm expecting in the next James Bond movie to for him to be skateboarding. Like,
oh, God.
No, we're too far past skateboarding.
Wow.
I like birds. Let's screw.
I'm gonna get you drunk. Let's have sex. Which, to be fair, a guy like James Bond can get away with. And
yeah.
He is British Batman. He's British Batman. He's just Batman if he just decided that he was going to go around everywhere telling people he was Batman at all times.
He's like a
instead of dressing
Bruce
up.
Wayne.
Well, this is the thing. It's like if Bruce Wayne just went, I'm going to walk around and just say to people, I'm Bruce Wayne. I have a gun. As opposed to putting on another persona. And it bit him in the ass at the beginning of the movie. I like that the bad guys did enough like research to be like, in a couple minutes, they're like, yeah, this is James Bond.
Yeah, that was
bad
cool.
Guys are usually able to do that. They're like, no, this is fucking James Bond. And you're like, that is why Batman puts on the costume.
I did like that they were able to catch on to that. I also like how they played it up and then blew up the helicopter. I was like, yeah, we got you now. We know what you're up to. You're screwed.
And that's a very James Bond situation to be in, is you need an exit. Like, so yeah. But yeah, what's your final score for Die Another Day?
I think I liked it a little bit better than you guys, so I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 tank top sword fights.
3 out of 5 tank top sword fights.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Funny enough, you're actually right in around where I was. I was going to give it a 3.5. It's losing a point and a half for, well, it's losing a half point for Madonna. That other point it's losing is for all the silliness. But I'm giving it that 3.5 because that first part of the movie was great. There was a lot of really good stuff throughout the movie. They pushed it that little bit too far. So I give it 3.5 mojito, no owls on this island.
Nice.
Out of 5.
Alright. I'm gonna rank it lower than both of you. It is so middle of the pack. I'm just gonna give it 2.5 Death Star super lasers with a half naked Miranda Frost in the Ice Palace out of 5.
So you're gonna give it like 2 or 3 quarters.
It's like 2 Death Star super lasers, and then you get your half point for Miranda.
She was cute.
She was nice. I liked her with the hair down.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Let's go watch. We need to have just a night where we watch Rosamund Pike movies.
There you go.
She's in that Gone Girl movie that's out now.
All right.
I know what he's downloading later.
So, thankfully, the next one is Casino Royale.
Yep. A good one.
And so, we're not going to watch the spoof or the old black and white TV version that was the first time Bond was ever on film. We're actually going to just continue with the movies, right? That's the plan.
Yeah.
Because it's the it's not just James Bond movies. It's the broccoli, like the actual series of films. And I mean, it opens up a lot of the conversation about whether or not it is all one timeline, because they presented it very much as this is just a reboot. This is just us rebooting the Bond franchise.
But there are
Definite nods, and in particular, one character that ties everything together. So I mean,
the nice thing is that, like, when we get to it, if you've read the book, it's the same sort of feel where you get that impression that it's kind of the start, but it may not actually be the start. Maybe just the start for him, sort of thing. You get those nods in the book as well. I mean, we're going to be going with Casino Royale, you're getting into some new terms that you're going to like.
Everything else aside, if you like the opening action sequence in this one, the opening action sequence in Casino Royale is probably one of my favorite.
Yeah, it was awesome. They really did a good job.
So,
cool. There you go. Daniel Craig.
And, yeah, you need to be in on these ones because it gets better.
Which is fine because I hated Skyfall, so we'll get to that.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh,
all right, well, we gotta leave it on that.
That's funny because it was Skyfall that kind of prompted me to go back and watch all these movies.
Oh, okay.
Because it was coming, I haven't seen it, but when the day it was released, John Ballmer was over and made fun of me.
This was the you've never seen a James Bond film. Skyfall's coming out. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, when we get to Skyfall, sir.
Oh. I'll watch it again, give it another shot, but oof.
Hey, I'll go on record and say I needed a second watching to be able to really get into it.
Javier Bardem, right? It's I can't remember the guy's name who plays the villain then.
No, believe it or not, it's actually none of the characters.
No, I mean, like, the actor who played the villain, it was Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, there is something that bothered me about Skyfall, but that second watching.
All right, I'm going to watch it again for you. But
not until we get to it.
Well, yeah, we're going to get to it in time. Until then, we've got a good one to get through.
Yeah, I got to plow through these. There's three left of the 20.
There's three left. Yeah. We've got Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and
which you have something to say about, I'm sure.
I'm sure I do, but that is for another day.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to be good.
All right. So, thanks, guys, for doing it. And hopefully we'll plow through these before the next one comes out next year.
We should be able to get through these pretty quickly.
All right.
Even if we do these like one every like 4 months, we'll still be good.
All right, cool.
Well, I'd like to wrap up Daniel Craig.
Oh, would you?
Oh, yeah. You went there, sir.
I did.
Yeah. I think if we can wrap up the Daniel Craig series before, let's say, the end of January, then we're in good footing to be able to move forward.
There you go.
Because I'd like to get through these ones relatively quickly in sequence.
Because they do tie in very much together. Like, they are more of a... There's more connecting narrative going forward in those movies, so... All right. But leave it at that.
Yeah.
See you all next time, and...
And, yeah, that's all I gotta say then. So have a great day. That was lame. I'm gonna edit this.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you can keep going.
You need to end it off with a yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon sort of thing.
Okay, so give him a chance to say yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Like, we'll go silent. He can say yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, and then just edit it.
Anyhow, thanks, guys, for taking time to do this. And,
yeah, it was good.
It was good. I enjoyed most of the Pierce Brosnan movies.
Oh, he's losing it. Okay, we need to move on to Daniel Craig. Let's get rocking.
All right. Before Hunter's head explodes, we'll get moving with the Daniel Craig movies. Thanks for listening, guys. And like I said, that's why I'm a jinx. Take care.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.